I know everybody's excited after coming off of a prosperity revival. Glory to God. Especially going back and listening to the tapes from last week. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to get into a word of prayer and get right into our lesson for today. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. We're going to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We thank you, Lord God, for our apostle, Lord God. We thank you for this school, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives, Lord God. And we thank you, Father God, hallelujah, for your many blessings. And we just thank you that as we get into this lesson on the culture of honor, Lord God, we will know properly how to honor power structures, Lord God, and how to follow spiritual protocol, Lord God, that, Lord God, that the anointing and the blessings of God will flow freely in our lives. And Lord, as always, I thank you for the Holy Spirit showing up and undergirding and supporting me, because Holy Spirit, if you do not show up, Lord, you know I'll fall flat on my face. So I lean and rely on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be studying today in the subject of the culture of honor, power structures, honoring power structures. And that's so very important. Matter of fact, it's actually a timely message because, as you know, we just started or just had a new elected president. And it's so very important that we know how to honor power structures. Whether or not, you know, President-elect Trump was your candidate or not, right now it really doesn't matter. He's going to be the new chief of staff for the United States, the commander-in-chief, and it's our job to honor power structures. And we're going to start by reading a scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. So if you have your Bibles with you or your cell phones or computers, I want everybody to see this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to be reading from verses 1 through 4. We're talking about honoring power structures. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, it says, I exalt therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for all are for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. So here it says in 2 and 2, it says for kings or for presidents or people who are in authority, it says that supplication, prayers, intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men. You know, those people in authority. One of the things I've learned years ago, the importance of praying for leadership. Praying not only for godly leadership, but that God would surround our president with godly men and women, a godly cabinet, a godly vice president, men and women who are above reproach, who can give him the right and accurate information, so that we as the body of Christ here on earth can live a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And that's so very important. So, you know, I wanted to start off with this scripture, being that since the last time we met, we do have a newly elected official. And we're going to be talking along these lines in this class. We're going to be reading right now out of Romans chapter 13. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. So if you want to follow along with me, you're more than welcome to. But I'm going to be reading specifically out of the Amplified Bible, Romans 13. And I'm going to probably be reading down from verse 1 to verse 8. And I'll be stopping probably intermittently. It says in Romans 13 and 1 out of the Amplified Bible, it says, let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil authorities. For there is no authority except from God, for his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment. So here it says there's no authority except from God. In other words, God is the authority, and all authority is instituted by his permission, by his sanction, and those that exist do so by his appointment. It says, therefore, whoso resisted, this is verse 2, resisted, set himself up against the authorities, resist what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them. For the civil authorities are not a terror to people who are of good conduct. In other words, if you're doing what the law says to do, the civil authorities and the powers that be, that they shouldn't be a terror. You shouldn't be afraid of the power structure that God has set up. He says, but to those who behave badly, would you have no dread of him who is an authority? Then do what is right, and you will receive his approval and commendation. For he is a God, he is God's servant. And not only is he God's servant, but he's God's servants for your good. If you do wrong, you should dread him, for he bared not the sword in vain. In other words, he bared not police officers and people who are in delegated authority, they're in a position to enforce that authority, and they don't bear the sword or the pistol in vain. They have those things for a reason, so that order and so that law and order can be established and continually be set up. It goes on and says, therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath, but to escape punishment, but also as a matter of principle for the sake of consciousness. It says, for this same reason, we pay taxes for civil authorities, for officials, for servants under God's devoting themselves to the attention of every service. It says in verse 7, it says to render to all men their dues or what's owed them. It says to pay taxes to whom taxes is due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. And verse 7 is the verse that we're going to kind of springboard off of in our study on power structures. Verse 7 says, to render therefore to all their dues. This is the King James Version. By dues we mean what is owed someone, an obligation. Tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. We are obligated to give tribute to whom tribute is due. We are obligated to give custom to whom custom is due. In other words, obeying and respecting the customs of a land or a region or a group of people. We are obligated to give fear to whom fear is due. Fear is a reverential respect for those who are in authority. We are obligated to give them fear or to reverence their position that God has placed them in. We are obligated to give honor to whom honor is due. Those people of high esteem, of rank, in positions of authority, we're obligated to honor our president because he's in a position of honor. And that's something that God set up. When you want to be blessed by God, we have to follow God's rule, God's order, because the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and God will turn any man's heart in the direction that he will. But it's our job as Christians to pray and to intercede and to supplicate and give thanks for those who are in authority, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, so that we can live a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Paul says we are obligated to show these four types of honor to all men. We will examine each one of these individually. This is a statement you really want to get down. Anytime you go into any place or any region of the world and you have a tremendous anointing, you're very anointed, or you're highly anointed, that anointing level on your life will go all the way down if you disrespect the land, if you disrespect the people and the customs and the apostolic gift that's in that region. So anytime you go into a region, this lesson is kind of geared from the Apostle Jonathan David, Bishop Tudor Bismore, is geared more towards people who are in evangelistic type ministries, who are ministering in foreign countries, or who are traveling, our itinerant ministries, ministering into different areas. But one of the things he states, he says, anytime you go into a region, you know, that's a different country, you know, and you might be tremendously anointing, but when you dishonor the land, the people, and the customs of that land, your anointing levels go all the way down because of your disrespect. These are four kinds of honor to be bestowed, conferred, and presented to those who are worthy of honor, especially when you're traveling and you're ministering in certain places and certain parts of a ministry team in a different country. It's very important that you give tribute, you give custom, you give fear, and you give honor to whom honor is due. When you're visiting a nation, you're obligated to adhere to the policies of the culture, the land, as long as their culture and their policies don't violate God's word. In other words, we draw the line where is if they are asking us to do something contrary to God's word, that's where we as Christians and ministers draw the line. But anytime you're in a country or a region that's not, you know, of your nationality, there are certain customs. I'll give you an example. In Saudi Arabia, it is customary for women to walk behind their husband and for their heads to be covered. Matter of fact, I have a cousin who spent several years, him and his family, in Saudi Arabia. And I remember talking to his wife, and she said, as long as we were on the American compound, because they were in a particular area where Americans live, the women could dress as they want to dress. They could walk around and have the same freedoms that they had in America. But once they got outside of the compound into Saudi Arabian soil, they had to dress like the Saudi women. They had to walk behind their husbands like that. And that's just a custom, you know. Some countries, a greeting from men is where men would kiss each other on the cheek. That's just a custom. Here, you don't do that unless you got you don't know who you are. You got problems with your identity, in other words. But that's just some areas is customary. Anytime you're going to minister, and one of the main reasons for that, because when you disrespect somebody's customs, somebody's culture, you disrespect them. And the minute that happens, they're going to shut off anything that you got to say pertaining to the Word of God, because you didn't show respect to their culture, their custom, and their culture. And that's just, you know, that anointing that's on your life, it'll go forth, it'll bounce off of them and can come right back to you. I remember when I was in prison ministry, my early years, and there was a lot of plowing we had to do, because there was a lot of foul ground, a lot of hard ground, breaking up people's hearts and getting people to receive the word. And there were times when it was just hard ministering, simply because they didn't want to hear what you got to say. But over time, as they gained your trust and they start seeing that you were sincere about what you were saying, and they start applying the word that's coming out of your mouth, and they begin to see results, and they see results in other inmates' lives as they get saved, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they see the difference and the change, all of a sudden now the disrespect and the discontent, I mean, there'll be times guys would be just sleeping, snoring. I'm there ministering. They're in the beds, you know, snoring. And I'm walking up and down the aisles ministering. You might have three or four people listening. But then over time, all of a sudden now, everybody's listening. You know, they would leave the TV on. I'm trying to minister above the TV, above the football game. And then, you know, several months into it, when I walk in, the TV, somebody turn the TV off. The minister here, it's time for church service. He'd go wake up everybody. Everybody would get in the seat. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. And the words now that you're ministering is not bouncing back anymore. But and when you're sensitive, you begin to sense and to know when people are soaking up the word that you're ministering, all of a sudden it begins to flow out of you like water. The ministry becomes easy. Why? Because their expectation level is increased. And even more so when you're in a foreign country or you're ministering, to different nationalities, when you respect and you honor their culture, because you're not disrespecting them, they're more open to receive what you've got to say. And so now your words are not bouncing back, but it's penetrating into their heart. They're not putting up a defense, but their hearts are open. And that's so very important, because you want the word of God to make effect in their lives. Amen. All right, let's move on. If you want God's presence, his glory, and his anointing to show up, you must honor the laws of the land, its people, their customs, and their apostolic gift in that region where you're traveling, because this is God's divine order. You know, honoring the customs, honoring the land, paying tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, and fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. God is a God of honor. We must submit to establish order of God's government and customs that are set up in the countries we evangelize. If we want God's presence and power to flow freely, we must we cannot dishonor the people and their land. We must honor them. You cannot do what you want to do. You must follow the protocol and the customs and the culture of the region that you're in. And that's so very important. And one of the things I also want to point out, too, I remember even at a young age, I think I might have even shared this. I was probably 6, 7 years old. I remember I was staying with an aunt one summer. And I would go out in the backyard on the side, and there was a field there, and there was grass that had grown up. It almost looked like wheat. It was, and the wind would blow it back and forth. Even at a young age, I would imagine myself ministering to it. I saw that field as a sea of people. And I never forget, there was a friend of mine, we were talking, and I said, you know, even going to Sunday school, things I was learning, God began to just speak to my heart about, you know, ministering to masses, ministering, you know, world evangelism should always be on your mind. You know, never just think local, because God, you know, will only promote you to the level of your expectation of what you believe in God for. You know, always believe God for more. In ministry, I know we have ministers who are on the internet and those who are in here. Always believe God, that God, you know, though my beginning is small, my latter end shall greatly increase. But it's going to be as you're faithful in the position and with the ministry God has presently called you with, that God's going to begin to promote you and elevate you. And then as you learn how to properly honor and respect, it opens the door now for God to use you in other capacities. And that's so very important. I mean, it humbles me even right now, knowing that, you know, we have on the internet people from all over the United States, other countries who are students. You know, I can remember when this ministry was a local ministry and we ministered to the local community. But I remember very, very vividly, and I shared this a couple of classes ago, when the apostle made everybody go outside and tear off our bumper stickers. You know, the bumper sticker said the word. And he said, you know, we're no longer a local ministry. You know, we need to see ourselves as ministering to everybody, because people would see the bumper stickers and they would associate us with a certain sect of people, a certain group of people. But now, because we're branching out everywhere, we're not just localized. We're everywhere, you know. And so you've got to see that in anything that you do. Increase is always on the horizon. Amen. All right. Let's talk about tribute to whom tribute is due. Honor with tribute. When you travel to a foreign country, you are subject to the tax structure and the civil authorities or the civil government of that land. You must pay, honor, respect, obey them in that land. Tribute is honor honoring the taxes and the land, the government systems of that country. When you pay tribute to something, you're honoring that tax structure, the governmental structure of that land. Tribute means paying taxes, duty, tax or payment for imports or exports of goods and services. And one also must honor certain levels of structure within the government. Is honoring not only just their economic system and the way they do business, but also honoring those who set up that system, the governmental authorities that implement that. You know, honoring a prime minister, honoring a queen in certain regions of the country. You know, honoring elected officials, and even when you bring it back here in the United States, you know, honoring our president. You know, all of that is very important. When you honor the laws of the land, you are giving tribute, because whatever country you are in, you become subject to the tax structure and the civil government of that land. Let me read that again. When you honor the laws of the land, you are giving tribute, because whatever country you are in, you become subject to the tax structure and the civil government of that land. Obeying the laws of that country is so very important. I'm going to give you a good illustration. You know, here in the United States, you know, we drive on a certain side of the road. We drive on the right side of the road. But in other countries, the steering wheel is on the other side, and you drive on the left side of the road. I know when the apostle was in Barbados, my wife and I and another couple went early, and we spent some time there, and we rented a car. And we had to, well, actually, I didn't do it. My wife did 90% of the driving, drove on the wrong side of the road. You know, if we would say, no, we're Americans, we're driving on the right side of the road, we spend most of our time in jail, because we would have been violating the civil structure and the rules and regulations and the policies of that country. You know, simple stuff like that. You know, is knowing what those customs are. Because now we're going there, we're representing the apostle. Now, if we went there and started causing the ruckus because, you know, they're doing things contrary to the way we do it in the U.S., not only would it have been a bad example, but they wouldn't have received anything that we had to say. We had to honor the laws and the governmental structure that was set up in that country. When you're flying over a country, you have to pay to fly over their airspace. You're honoring that country. When the apostle flies overseas and in other countries, and he may cross several different countries in South America, there's a tax or there's a tariff that's paid just to fly over their airspace. That's giving honor to that country, respecting the laws of that land. We're obligated to abide by the laws and the governments that govern that country that we're in. If we violate the law, we cannot expect God to honor us spiritually, because when you're violating natural law, how do you expect God to bless you spiritually when now you're violating natural law? Because as we read in Romans, you know, all authority is instituted by God. You know, God sets up civil governments in different countries, and he puts people over those governments, and it's very important that we honor and respect the laws that are in those lands if we want the anointing that's on our lives to be productive and minister to the people in those countries that we're ministering at. Paul says that you have to honor the government in that country, honor the laws of that land, honor the land. When you violate natural laws of a country that's under God's divine order and structure, you're in fact violating God's structure or God's order. Paul says to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. You know, render under that government structure that's set up there, you know, because it was instituted by God. You know, all authority and all governmental structure is instituted by God. Even though your ministry is mighty and you're mightily gifted, the author says, if you do not honor the laws of that country, your ministry will be devastated, and it would inhibit the anointing levels, will go all the way down. If you violate the laws of a country, the people will not hear you. Basically, because what you're doing, you're disrespecting them because you did not honor them. You did not respect their customs. Because you have disrespected and dishonored their country, their traditions, and their heritage. It's no different if somebody comes to this country and gets, say, in the middle of the center of the city, takes an American flag and throw it on the ground, put some gasoline on it and set a match and burn it. They're disrespecting our country. They're disrespecting our flag, our way, our freedom, and our civil liberties. You know, that's a dishonor and that's a disgrace. You know, so it's no different when we go into other countries. Even though we are men and women of God, there's still certain structures of government and culture that you have to honor. Mark chapter 12, verses 14 through 17 says, "And when they were come, they said to him, Master, we know that thou art a cares for no man, and for thou regardest not persons of men, but teachest the word of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" Now, these are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're basically tempting Jesus. Verse 15 says, "Shall you give or shall you not give?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, "Why tempted ye me? Bring me a penny. What says it?" And they brought it. And he said unto them, "Who is the image on that inscription?" And they said, "It is Caesar's." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God." And they marveled at him. There are laws and rules and regulations in a kingdom, or country, a nation, or a land that has been put in place to govern the people that live in these respective nations. So by observing and obeying these laws and rules and regulations and aligning to them, you show honor by pertaining honor as pertaining to the specific protocols of the land, the nation, and the country. Jesus says to give Caesar that which is Caesar and give God that which is God's. When people violate the tax laws and the trade agreements, the tariffs and the customs, the duties that are, they are actually bringing curses on their lives and curses that could remain on their lives generationally. In other words, it's not just, you're just not cursing yourself, but your children and your children's children, because you're dishonoring the land and the people of that land. Hebrews 13 and 7 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and subject yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is profitable unto you." Obey those. That has a law of double reference to it. Not only do we obey those in spiritual authority as an apostle and a prophet, but even also from a natural point of view, you know, governmental structure, obeying of elected officials, or obeying, you know, mayors and governors and presidents and people who are in positions of authority, because they watch over us and God has placed them in that position for a reason. Okay, the next area we're going to be talking about is custom. Custom to whom custom is due. Custom is honoring the people of the land, honoring their traditions. You are to honor the people, the customs, provided that the customs do not violate the spiritual requirements for human life. Anytime you go into a place in the world and you might have a tremendous anointing, if you dishonor the people, their native customs, the anointing levels will go all the way down. As I stated earlier, when you go into minister because you disrespected the people, that anointing, the words that you speak, they'll go out and they'll bounce right back at you because they're not going to receive it. Every person, every ethnic group, tribe, or nationality, they have their own individual cultures that make up their uniqueness of the people of that region. Honoring the people of the land by respecting their culture shows honor to the people of that country. This is giving custom to whom custom is due. And that's so very important that we honor the people of the land and that we respect their customs, show honor to the people of that country, because this gives this is giving custom to whom custom is due. In their customs and cultures, if their customs and culture do not violate any standard requirements for life, the customs and the cultures must be respected, observed, and kept, even preserved. I gave the illustration earlier about, you know, how Saudi Arabia has different customs, and every country and every, you know, dignitaries. I mean, when you're with the queen, you're not supposed to just walk up to the queen and shake her hand. There's certain things that's customary. When that's done, that's showing disrespect and dishonor. You know, I know in certain tribal, back in the days of where they had a lot of tribes and what have you, if they put food in front of you, it was customary for you to eat it, even though you didn't like it. You know, you just didn't disrespect, you know, what, because they're showing, it's almost like a formality or a protocol that they're doing. And if you just say, look, no, I don't want to do this, you cut them off because of disrespect, and that shouldn't be done. Okay, let's move on. Fear to whom fear is due. Honor with fear. As I stated earlier, fear is not having a scariness or a fright of something, but fear is a reverential respect. When you honor with fear, you respect those who are in authority. You have a reverential honor and respect and an awe for the authority and the office of the people who have that position. Fear is honoring the ranks and the spiritual dignitaries of the land, apostles and prophets of that land, the apostolic voice of that region. Know who they are before you go to minister in a region. It's so very important. If you go into a country, find out who has rank, the author says, in that country. What spiritual, when people come into this region of Louisiana, they should know that there's an apostle here, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., and they should honor him. It's a disrespect, actually, for somebody just to come in this region, you know, right down the street and start a church and not even come and sit down and speak with the apostle about what they feel like God is having them to do, because an apostle has a governing territorial anointing. And see, that's why a lot of times you got all of these churches in every street corner, and because of so much disrespect and dishonor, in most cases a lot of these ministries aren't really being productive because they're not following a proper spiritual protocol. You know, when a dignitary goes into a country, they find out who's in authority, you know, even from a circular perspective. You know, if a prime minister or an ambassador travels to a country, there's a certain protocol, a certain respect, a certain way of doing things that they follow to let them know that my presence is here and to respect. A lot of times they'll come and actually bring a gift. When you go before a man of God or you go into a region that he's in, the Bishop Tudor Bismarck talks about, you know, it's not a bad idea to go, say if you're doing an evangelistic crusade and you're in a certain prophet's or an apostle's area of ministry. It's actually customary, and is showing honor when you go to him. Let him know what your intentions are, and bring a gift, and make sure that what you're doing is not violating or crossing up with what he's ministering in that area. One of the things I do whenever I'm called upon from my man of God to go and represent him at another church, or if a church member has a relative that dies, and I'm going to represent the apostle, I find out who's an authority at that church, who is the pastor, and I immediately submit to that individual, that pastor, you know, of that church, and whatever they require me to do is what I do. The last time I went, a couple of weeks ago, I was actually on program. The apostle was scheduled to be on program, but he told me that, you know, I'm not going, you going. Yes, sir. And so when it came my time to do my presentation and words of comfort on the program, instead of going into the pulpit, which you never want to just walk into another man's pulpit, but I went to the side, and the pastor motioned me where you can come up on the pulpit and give your words of comfort. And I nodded, and I gave honor to him, gave honor to God, you know, and recognized him as being the head over that church. And it was kind of ironic that particular day that I went, the minute I walked into the church, one of the other pastors of that church, I'm assuming he was an associate or you know, an assistant, I'm not really sure, but he was complaining, and I don't know if he was complaining about the pastor or another person, but he said, and he pointed at somebody who I didn't know. He said, you know, he was in the pulpit yesterday, and he was talking about Bishop so-and-so, I'm not going to mention the guy's name, and he called him a such-and-such, you know. He said that was wrong. He said he shouldn't have did that. And he looked at me, I guess he wanted to see what I was going to say, and I just looked at him. I said, one of the things I've been taught is you never put your mouth on a man of God. You know, you never disrespect him. You know, you always honor. And if he's your man of God, you want to cover him. You know, and you want to, just like Moses' two sons did when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And we'll get into some of these illustrations more in depth as we go on with the semester. But it's so very important that we give honor to whom, in the area of honor, fear with honor, to whom fear is due. Showing fear is reverenced to those God has placed in authority, is showing honor to those dignitaries of the land. Knowing the ranks that God has placed in a particular region is so important, so that you don't dishonor those God has set in place. Let me read that again. Showing fear or reverence to those God placed in authority is showing honor to those dignitaries of that land. Knowing the ranks or people who have position and authority in God's army or in God's kingdom that God has placed in a particular region, it is so important that we don't dishonor those God has set in place. And one of the things I always try to make people understand is not everybody in the body of Christ are equal in rank and position. You know, you have fivefold ministry gifts, but not everybody in the body of Christ or in the fivefold ministry gift are on the same level. Not all people or not all fivefold ministry gifts have the same gifts, have the same anointing or endowment, abilities, or even the same spiritual, or even at the same spiritual level. Jesus said that, you know, that he gives, gifts, or he gives abilities as he wills, as the Holy Spirit wills. In Matthew 25:14, it says, "For the kingdom of God is as a man traveling to a far country, who calleth his own servants and delivered unto him his goods." Matthew 25:15 says, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1, according to their several ability, and straightway took his journey." The Amplified Bible says, "To one he gave 5 talents, or about $5,000. To another he gave 2, you know, to another he gave 1 portion of his own personal ability. Then he departed and left the country." In the kingdom of God, there are different ranks, there are different levels and abilities and talents, giftings and anointing given to people in every sector. We must honor the ranks that has been placed in the land. Fear means the respect and the honor must be given to those whom God has graced with higher levels of abilities, talents, giftings, and anointing. 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Honor all men. Love the brethren, fear God, honor the king," or honor those who are in spiritual authority, honoring the king. Or in our instance, we should honor our president. Amen. Clearly seen here, honor must be shown to whom honor is due. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17 says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. The Amplified Bible of that same verse says, let the elders who perform their duties or offices well be considered doubly worthy of honor and adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. I read the Amplified Bible version because it's connotating giving honor with adequate financial support. It says, let the elders who perform their duties and their offices well be considered doubly worthy of honor and of adequate financial support. So it's our job to make sure that men and women of God who labor in the gospel, who are out there ministering day in and day out, you know, 5-6 days a week, as we see our apostles do during camp meeting, to make sure that they have adequate financial support. In other words, they're sowing unto us spiritual treasures, and we're sowing into them our physical treasures, so that we can see increase. You know, and that's the law of sowing and reaping. You know, as you sow, you're expecting a harvest, but at the same time, you're showing honor. One of the first things Dr. Phil, when he got up on, I guess it was Wednesday, and we were doing a matriarch tonight, he says, we're here because we want to give honor to our matriarch, First Lady Miss Carolyn. You know, he made sure, and I listened very carefully, that he said, you know, we're here to honor. We're here to honor. We're going to give honor. And we gave an honor by sowing seed and sowing, as one of the things I stated in this class, the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. And we showed up big this past Wednesday. We showed up big this summer for our man of God, when we showed honor to him by sowing over $1 million. And you see, when that level of honor is shown, God now is in a position to release blessing upon blessing over your life, because we're establishing God's kingdom. And when there is order in a kingdom, they have to be those who are subject to order. You know, there's authority, and there are those who are subject to that authority. And when you're subject in that, to that authority by obeying, by being willing and obedient, the Bible says, when you're willing and obedient, you know, to God's law, to God's order, the Bible says you will eat of the good of the land. You can't help but be blessed, because these are spiritual principles that we're putting in operation, you know, and God set these spiritual principles in place so that each and every one of us can be blessed, and God can meet our needs and above our needs in every area of our lives. And that's so very important that I see, you know, over the years, that's something that's really been on the increase, and I thank God for it. Sometimes prophets and apostles enter a region and speak a specific word without researching the dynamics of the father, the apostles and the prophets of that that generational region in that area. In other words, one of the things I stated earlier that when if you're doing evangelism or you're going into another region, it's very important that you research the dynamics, the author says, of that region, to see who's in authority and see what father or what apostle or prophet is over that area. Because you can easily begin to speak a word or say something that's contrary to what, you know, for instance, if somebody came in this region and said, there's a healing anointing that's rising up in this land, and we know that there's a financial anointing rising up in this land. You know, there were times that the apostle would be ministering, and then somebody started prophesying about healing in a prosperity meeting. You know, that's just out of order, you know, because it's going against the grain of what God is doing at that time. Somebody coming in from an outside with a whole different concept to throw it or to throw a monkey wrench or a curve in what God is doing. And so what the author says is so very important that you research the dynamic of the father that's in that region before you just go and start confessing and saying something that's contrary to the spiritual dynamic of that region. Honor to whom honor is due. This is the next area that we're going to talk about. Honor the land. This is honoring the anointing in that land. This means honoring the apostolic gift in that region. One way of doing this is by sowing an offering into the highest ranking apostolic gift with the greater anointing in the region that you're in. And I basically just talked about that. That sowing into the apostle's life, as I stated earlier, we sowed this past Wednesday into the first lady's life. You know, that's honoring the land, honoring that apostolic gift that's in the land. When you honor the anointing that's in the land, you give an offering or sow a seed into the local apostolic gift in that region that you are visiting. That's honoring the anointing that's in the land. And when you do that, he says, when you show that kind of honor, there is automatic spiritual reciprocation. In other words, you're going to automatically receive reciprocation. God's going to automatically now reciprocate because of your seed that you sown. God now is obligated to make sure that he gets blessing to you because you're helping set up his kingdom. You're helping set up his kingdom. It takes finances to travel all over the world. It takes salvation is free, but getting the gospel to all the reaches of the world takes finances. You know, we have a worldwide ministry here, and I find myself saying that more because I know the impact, and I'm beginning to understand more clearly the impact of the people that we're reaching. You know, when I travel going to different states and even the few times I've went abroad, the impact this ministry has on people. A gentleman came up to me a couple of weeks ago in church. He's from another country, and he has a friend of his or a minister friend he knows wanted to get connected to the apostle. And he said, what can I tell him? He wants to get connected. I told him to try to make any meetings, watch online, sow a seed, and stay close. I said his gift will make room for him, you know, but I know he's away, he's somewhere in Africa, you know, but it's just, it's connecting properly. It's connecting properly. We're making an impact around the world. And it's something that we have to see what God is doing here and that we're a part of that. And whatever you do, whether it's an usher, whether it's working in the Ministry of Helps, the media, the praise team, you know, you're on staff, you're an integral part of getting the gospel around the world because you're facilitating, you're holding the man of God's arms up. You're doing things that he doesn't have to do so he can give himself continually to the ministry of the word. You know, when I minister to members in the congregation or whatever I'm called to do as a master life bearer here at the church, I'm freeing him up so that he can hear from God. You know, because one of the things Jethro told Moses, he said, you're taking too much upon yourself. You know, you got all these people you're ministering to. He said, they're going to wear you out. He said, you need to find you some men who are full of faith, you know, who can help you oversee, you know, God's kingdom. And so whatever you're doing here in the ministry and even in your local churches across, who are people who are, you know, online, you are undergirding and you are honoring your man and your woman of God by serving in whatever capacity that you're. Don't take it lightly. It's so easy to take it lightly because you don't think nobody sees, but God sees. And you see, what you do in secret or people don't even know about, God's going to reward you openly. You know, what you're doing, what might appear to be on the backside of the mountain, Moses, when he started out, he was on the backside of the mountain. But because of his faithfulness, God brought him to the forefront and used him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know, so, you know, don't despise what you're doing. Matter of fact, one of the things that I've been told is to always step it up. Always look for ways that you can improve. Always look for ways that you can show honor to a greater capacity. Because the more you show honor, the more honor is going to be given unto you. Because God is not going to forget your labor of love and what you do here, you know, behind the scenes. It blesses me when I see young people get hooked up and get involved, because I know they're setting their future up. They're setting their future up. You know, and I try to encourage young and old to get involved, because there's no bench warmers in the body of Christ. God didn't design for us to sit on the bench and to just be spectators in the stands. No, we all have a part and a role in showing honor and fulfilling our role. And doing what God's called us to do, so that the gospel can be preached and so that the word of God can go forth unhindered, unchecked, you know, and free our men and our women, our God, up so that they can do what God's called them to do. And that's what it's all about. And I just want to encourage you in these last few seconds, you know, God sees your labor of love. God sees your commitment on Thursdays coming to choir practice and the things you do, whether or not it's parking lot, whether or not it's serving as a life bearer or a master life bearer. God sees that. You know, and whatever you do unto the Lord, God's going to repay. Amen? All right. We'll see you guys after the holidays. Amen? When is our test coming up? Anybody know? I'll find out. I don't think it's this week coming up. It's probably after the Thanksgiving holidays, I'm guessing, because I hadn't heard anything. But I will find out. But your quizzes will be posted by tomorrow. Amen? All right.